Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation on this Thursday morning, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. So with that, Shane, thank you for spending some time today with our listeners and our clients. Welcome back and looking forward to our conversation.
Good to be with you.
Perhaps beginning with President Biden, he did make some headlines this week after having outlined some proposed reforms, these aimed at the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, this has resulted in a lot of mixed reviews, so to speak, maybe some controversy within Washington. So what exactly is President Biden proposing, and what do you think is the likelihood that any of these reforms would be implemented?
Yeah, very interesting development, Dan. You know, I think the public sentiment about the Supreme Court has become not a highly rated as it used to be. You know, the Supreme Court used to enjoy a higher approval rating than Congress and usually the White House, but that has seen the bottom fall out in the past few months and years. So, you know, I think President Biden has seen an opportunity to advance reforms he and many would like to see on the Supreme Court. He has proposed a few things like term limits. You know, currently the Supreme Court is a lifetime appointment, and what he proposes is that each justice would have an 18-year term. So with 9 justices, you know, it would be a rotation of every 2 years, one justice stepping down and one new justice being appointed. Additionally, you know, the Supreme Court did adopt some ethics guidelines last year on its own, but I think, you know, President Biden and others want to see that more established in law with, you know, consequences that have some teeth in their view. You know, so I think, you know, while these are very interesting, to your last question, they're not going anywhere. You know, in this divided Congress, it's seen as a kind of a political issue. I think you have some members of Congress who are also feeling that, you know, that the pressure from the Supreme Court, which is saying, listen, you know, there are three branches to this government, and, you know, we're very concerned about, you know, two branches impacting the third branch so much. You know, we are designed, we, the judiciary, designed to operate kind of independently. So I think there's some kind of almost constitutional concerns there. But at the end of the day, you know, I think all these proposals are interesting, but I don't see any of them advancing at this time.
Well, Shane, thank you for the clarity as to whether these proposals would move forward, what that could look like. Perhaps something more actionable this week, President Biden also called on Congress as well as several federal agencies to curb the flow of fentanyl into the U.S., which, of course, has had a lot of devastating effects on the American population over the years. So what steps are being taken by the White House to push forward this particular initiative?
That's right. And I think, to your point, putting this in perspective is pretty important. You know, last year in 2023, over 100,000 Americans between the ages of 18 and 45 died from an overdose. And I believe that was the number one cause of death for that age bracket. And if you look back at last year as well, 150 million pills containing illicit fentanyl were seized by law enforcement. And that is a dramatic increase over the years. In 2017, only 50,000 pills were seized. So they're seeing a rapid rise in fentanyl-laced pills in society, and it is taking a toll on Americans. So, you know, I think both Republicans and Democrats have recognized this problem and have been looking for ways to address it. And they have made some reforms over the years. But, you know, President Biden has put forward a proposal to the Congress and, you know, has a few different prongs to it, starting with, you know, more agents trying to find these pills that are being carried across the border. Additionally, they want to do kind of a registry of machinery that creates these pills. And I think you'll see a lot of effort, and have been separate from this with, you know, China and Mexico to try and figure out better ways to work together to stop this rapid rise of fentanyl and its impact on our society.
Will be interesting to see how these efforts take shape. Hopefully they will deliver a positive impact. Maybe one more topic we can spend time on for this week, turning overseas, focusing on geopolitics. This is a follow-up to our ongoing conversation on the Israel-Hamas war, which we have seen has further escalated over the past few days. A lot of developments raising concern over the potential for a wider conflict across the region. So what's the latest there, Shane?
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, there were a number of assassinations over the past few days of high-value targets. You know, you saw not only the leader of Hamas, who is in Iran, killed, but also a top tier person from Hezbollah killed in Lebanon. And that was following the attack in Israel that killed about a dozen children. So, you know, that retaliation is directly correlated to Hezbollah's attack on Israel. Additionally, I believe Israel has also killed Mohammed Deif, who was a leader of Hamas in Gaza. So, you know, I think you're seeing a very strong effort by Israel right now to go after Hezbollah and Hamas and try and, you know, bring this chapter to a close. But to your point, this is stoking tensions and bringing about fears of a larger conflict, you know, because of what's going on in Lebanon and Iran. So I think we're going to be watching over the next few days to see how Hezbollah and Iran react. You know, there are reports that a retaliation is imminent, but, you know, we'll see what that is and what it consists of. You know, is it an escalation or is it kind of a tit for tat that maybe then we could see some off-ramp to? So a lot of tensions are high in the Middle East, absolutely, as what seems to be an escalation is taking place. But I think we should, you know, pause for a moment and not automatically assume that it's escalating into a wider conflict. I think, you know, President Biden is trying to figure out what his legacy will be now that he's not running for president. And I think him trying to be a negotiator and arbiter in the Middle East will be one of his main focuses in the coming days, weeks, and months.
Well, Shane, thank you for the color on what has been taking place in the Middle East, and we will continue to cover this very closely. Though, thank you again, Shane, for dropping by the podcast on this Thursday to keep our listeners informed on a range of topics here at home and abroad. Do hope you stay cool as this summer heat is in full swing here in the States, and look forward to continuing with our conversation again soon.
Thank you, Dan. Looking forward to it and hope you enjoy some baseball games, maybe in shape.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. I will point out to our listeners, especially our clients of UBS listening in, you can now locate the latest edition of the Washington Weekly publication available now for you up on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit UBS.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit UBS.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment that advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.